seeking the mantle of power. That's what Elisha sought when he went with Elijah before he was taken up by a whirlwind. Just to refresh our minds, we noted last week that Elisha, in order that he might have and lay hold upon the mantle of power, was compelled to journey along the road of perseverance. He had to persevere to the end of the journey, till he crossed over Jordan and stood there with Elijah and waited for Elijah to be taken up, and the mantle which fell from Elijah, Elisha laid hold upon it. There's the mantle of power. We noted the demand for Elisha, because Elijah demanded of Elisha what he wanted him to do for him. Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. Elijah simply said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee. Nothing complicated, nothing secretive. No secret formula, just ask. And the Lord has used that word repeatedly in His ministry and in our own hearing. He's told us to ask. And indeed He said, if ye being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? Once again, it's so simple. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit with power. We already have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us because we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. He already abides within, but we need His power. We need the Holy Spirit to fill every part of us with His power. We need, as it were, the mantle of power. And so we had the demand that was put to Elisha. And then we notice the desire of Elijah, for he said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. He could have asked for many things. He could have asked for to be more popular than Elijah was. Elijah wasn't very popular. Old Ahab said, art thou the man that troublest Israel? He was looked upon as a troublemaker. You stand up for the Lord, preach the truth, be bold for God, and the world will call you a troublemaker. It was the directive to Elisha, because Elijah said that if he wanted to know the double portion of his power, then he was to keep his eyes upon his master. Verse 10, and he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me, when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. In other words, Elisha must keep his eyes upon Elijah. Likewise, Christ is our master. We must at all times keep our eyes upon Him. If we are to know that power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we must keep our eyes on Christ. It's not looking to the world. It's not looking to other things. It's looking to Christ alone. Remember what John the Baptist said? In Matthew chapter 3, regarding the Lord Jesus, verse 11, Matthew 3, verse 11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. If we are to know the fullness of the Spirit of God, it will come to us through Christ. Everything we have comes to us through Christ. Nothing comes to us apart from the Lord Jesus. Every blessing, every token of good, mercy and grace comes to us through Christ. We noted the determination of Elisha. In spite of the discouragements along the way and the sons of the prophets telling him, your master's going to be taken away from you today, Elisha still went on. So there were a number of discouragements along the way, as there always is in the Lord's work. But we need to go on. We need to go down that road or along that road of perseverance. We cannot turn back. We noted also the devotion of Elisha. For when Elijah told him to stay at each of the locations, Elisha said that he would not. As the Lord liveth, and as my soul liveth, I will not stay. And they too went on. He was determined. And he was devoted to his master. He was not for leaving the side of his master. And each time they came to one of those locations, it was as if Elisha rededicated himself to his master. Said, I will not leave thee. We need to come to that place from time to time, as Elisha did, and rededicate ourselves to the Lord. That brings us now, this evening, to the removal of the prophet. We have noted the road of perseverance. Now we come to the removal of the prophet, namely Elijah. The Lord had made it known to Elijah that he would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind. Verse 1 of the chapter 2. Now we notice that it came to pass, because we read in verse 11, and it came to pass as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. First thing we want to notice here is the fire. The fire. And it came to pass as they still went on and talked, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire. Prophet was to be taken up by a whirlwind, but Elisha saw the fire. It was then that Elisha laid hold upon the mantle of power, because it fell from Elijah. And then Elisha laid hold upon it. That which he had desired for so long, from the time that Elijah draped that mantle upon Elisha when he was plowing with the yoke of oxen, 14 years before. Now, well, he had the opportunity to take hold of that mantle and know the power of God in his life. I want you to notice the suddenness. Regarding the fire, we notice how suddenly it came. And it came to pass, verse 11, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire. Notice the two words in italics. They're appeared. So they're not in the original. So now we can read it. And it came to pass as they still went on and talked that behold a chariot. Seems to emphasize more the suddenness. Behold a chariot of fire. It just appeared suddenly. As it were, unexpectedly. Yes, Elijah had been told, and Elisha knew it, that Elijah would be taken up into heaven by a whirlwind. But the fire came suddenly. Suddenly the fire, and suddenly Elisha had the mantle, and suddenly he had the power. Suddenly the fire, suddenly Elisha had the mantle, and suddenly he had the power, the double portion. Does this not remind us of the day of Pentecost that we read about in Acts 2? For there we read, "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting." Suddenly, there came the sound of a mighty rushing wind, and suddenly there were the tongues of fire. And so we associate the fire with the filling of the Holy Ghost. And here we have the fire appearing to Elisha at the time he desired a double portion. We often sing, "Lord, send the fire." We tried to sing it tonight. We just didn't have the right tune. But nevertheless, it was the words that were important. Send the fire. Send the fire. Just as the fire came in the day of Pentecost, it came suddenly. So when we wait for the Lord to send us the power of the Spirit of God, often it will come upon us suddenly. As it did in the Isle of Lewis, as men met one night for prayer, and they were praying for revival. They were praying for the moving of the Holy Spirit. And one man who was the village blacksmith, in the midst of the prayer time, stood up almost as if he was frustrated and said, "Lord, thou hast promised to pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. And Lord, thou art not doing it." And suddenly, following that man's cry out to God, the place where they were met was shaken. Literally shaken. And suddenly the Holy Ghost came down in power, and revival came to the Isle of Lewis. I love reading Duncan Campbell's little book about the Isle of Lewis revival. Such a heartwarming book, as he tells about things that happened. Preaching one night, the meeting was over and he dismissed the service and he left the pulpit to go to the front door of the church. And when he got to the front door, hundreds of people were standing outside, waiting to hear the word. The Spirit of God had moved. Duncan Campbell said that the air was saturated with a sense of God's presence and power. We read about that in the Isle of Lewis. We read about it in the Ulster Revival in 1859. We want to experience it today. And we can know it today if we go along that road of perseverance. And as we go, we pray, "Lord, send the fire." There was Elisha. And suddenly, the chariots of fire appeared. Suddenly, the horses of fire appeared. And Elisha was able to lay hold upon the mantle, which symbolized the power of Almighty God. We need the fire. There was the suddenness. there was the sound. Doesn't actually mention the word sound. But could you have a whirlwind without sound? We're told that Elijah went up by a whirlwind. No doubt that whirlwind made a sound like that which was heard on the day of Pentecost. For it is written, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. You have the suddenness, and you have the sound. The Spirit of God can come upon us suddenly. We've only to ask. And we simply go on asking and go on asking until suddenly the fire falls. Until suddenly we are filled with the Holy Ghost. We know that the wind is a type of the Spirit of God. See how have the unity of the teaching and the doctrines of Scripture. The fire speaks to us of the Holy Ghost's power. The wind is a type of the Holy Spirit. We know that from the words of the Lord in John chapter 3. In John 3, and there we read in the 8th verse, and the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Again, the wind speaks to us of the Holy Spirit. And suddenly, Elisha saw the chariots. Suddenly, he received a double portion of God's power. Then there was the sound, the whirlwind, which speaks to us of the Spirit of God. And Elisha laid hold of the mantle. And Elisha had the double portion. He had the power of God. Oh, for the sound comes from heaven. Oh, for the wind of God to come and sweep through us here in this church. Oh, that the breeze of heaven would begin to blow. The Spirit of God would come upon us with power. And upon this town, my, what a difference Port Hope would be. It would be no longer looked upon as the port of no hope. It would indeed be the port of hope for many a sinner. The wind of God, we need it to come and sweep through this place. Breathe upon us, Lord, from heaven. Fill us with the Holy Ghost. Promise of the Father given. Send us now at Pentecost. Breathe upon us, breathe upon us. With thy love our hearts inspire, breathe upon us, breathe upon us. Lord, baptize us now with fire. Need the fire of God. What does fire do? It burns up, it'll burn up the dross in our lives. It'll burn up the waste in our lives. It'll burn up those things that are of no importance in the light of eternity. As well as the suddenness and the sound, we have the sight. Elisha beheld an amazing sight. Behold, a chariot of fire and horses of fire. And so fire from heaven came when Elisha took up also the mantle of Elijah. And Elisha now had the power he desired. And indeed, the power he knew that he needed. if he was to be, if he was to be the successor of Elijah. We always associate fire with Elijah. We think of him, and we think of him on the top of Mount Carmel, challenging the old prophets of Baal. And he told them, the God that answers by fire, let him be the God. And we know the story well. How they built their altar and they went out and they cried to their god Baal and they cut themselves and Elijah mocked them. And then it was Elijah's turn and he repaired the altar and he put the sacrifice thereon and it was drenched in water and he prayed. And as he prayed, suddenly the fire fell. And what did that symbolize? Once again, it symbolized the power of the Holy Ghost, the power of heaven. And what did it do? It turned the people away from the worship of Baal because the people said, the Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. If we only had that same fire of God fall upon this town, people would be saying, the Lord, He is the God. They would be turned away from their sin and from their idols and their wickedness and turned to the God of heaven. We need the fire as we need the power. We love singing that new hymn, they were gathered in an upper chamber as commanded by the risen Lord. And the promise of the Father, there they sought with one accord. When the Holy Ghost from heaven descended, like a rushing wind and tongues of fire, so, dear Lord, we seek thy blessing. Come with glory, now our hearts inspire. Let the fire fall. Let the fire fall. Let the fire from heaven fall. We are waiting and expecting. Now in faith, dear Lord, we call. Let the fire fall. Let the fire fall. On thy promise we depend. From the glory of thy presence, let the Pentecostal fire descend. So said last week, we're not talking about any kind of charismatic nonsense. We're talking about the genuine article. The Holy Ghost of God filling His people with power. We need God to send us the fire. As well as the fire, we have the focus. When Elisha saw the double portion of Elijah's power, he was told that he must do. If thou see me, when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. And if not, it shall not be so. Verse 10. And since Elijah sought the double portion so much, he certainly did not take his eyes off Elijah. Because we read in verse 12, Elisha sought, and notice the word, it is in italics again. So we read, and Elijah saw. He saw what he was told he needed to see. Elijah had said, if thou see me, verse 10. And then in verse 12, and Elijah saw. And he cried, my father, my father, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. So it was Elijah that Elisha had his eyes upon. Yes, saw the chariots of fire and he saw the horses of fire. But his eyes were upon Elijah. That was his focus. And as he saw Elijah going up, he cried, my father, my father, Why did Elisha call Elijah my father? And why did he ask for a double portion? I was asked that last week at the door. Why a double portion? I'm thankful I was able to tell the lady who asked me. And the answer is over in Deuteronomy. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 21. Elijah was Elisha's spiritual father, just as Paul was Timothy's spiritual father. So that's why he called him, my father, my father. But in Deuteronomy 21 and verse 17, but he shall acknowledge the son of the hated for the firstborn by giving him a double portion of all that he hath. For he is the beginning of his strength. The right of the firstborn is his. Elisha was the successor of Elijah. He was, as it were, the firstborn. He had a right to the double portion. And so he calls out to Elijah, my father, my father. And he cried out to Elijah for the double portion. Because he saw himself as the firstborn. In other words, he had the right to call out, my father, give me a double portion. The Lord Jesus is described as the firstborn. Colossians 1 verse 15. He's described as the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. And since we are in Christ, the firstborn, we have the right to claim the double portion of power. Power, as we've already pointed out, comes to us through Christ. And we are in Christ. And Christ is the firstborn of every creature. Therefore, being in Christ, we have a right to the double portion. We have a right to the power of God. That's the connection. That's why Elisha asked for a double portion. Because he looked upon himself as the firstborn, and Elijah was his spiritual father. Let us claim that power that is rightfully ours, through Christ, that double portion of power. Next, after the fire and the focus, we have the fulfillment. That which Elisha desired was fulfilled. It was realized. For since Elijah's mantle speaks to us of the power of God, we see that he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him. Verses 13 and 14. You will notice, verse 13, he took up also the mantle. Verse 14. And he took the mantle of Elijah. Twice it is mentioned that Elisha took the mantle, as Elijah had done before him. Look at verse 8 of the chapter 2. And Elijah took his mantle. Now we read, Elisha took his mantle. In other words, this tells us that as far as Elisha was concerned, the mantle, the It speaks to us of the power of God was ready, available. He only had to take it. It was there. It had fallen from Elijah, and all Elisha had to do was to take that mantle. It's like the power of God, the fullness of the Holy Spirit. It is available to us all. We only have to take it. We only have to lay hold upon it. That's all we have to do. It is not something that is just for an elite number of people. It's for all of God's people. Be ye not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. Again, Paul was addressing believers. Not a group of ministers, not a group of missionaries, but a group of believers in a congregation. And he tells them, you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, that infilling is there for the taking. Just as Elisha laid hold on the mantle, we can lay hold on that mantle of power as well. It's not kept from us, not hidden from us. It is freely available. As Elisha took the mantle, let us take it just as freely as well. There came a fire, a sound from heaven, like a rushing mighty wind. It filled their hearts with singing and gave them peace within. The prophet gave this promise, the Spirit will descend from your inner being, a river with no end. There is a river that flows from deep within. There is a fountain that frees the soul from sin. Come to this water. There is a vast supply. There is a river that never will run dry. So after considering the road of perseverance and the removal of the prophet, we come in the last place to the receiving of the power. After Elijah was taken up into heaven by a whirlwind, the sons of the prophet set themselves the task of going out and searching for Elijah. They really didn't think he had been taken up to heaven. Because if you look there at verse 16, and they said unto him, behold, now there be with thy servants 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, and seek thy master, lest peradventure the Spirit of the Lord hath taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley. Elisha said, you don't need to go. But they insisted, it says, until he was ashamed. He was embarrassed by how often they kept coming. Let us go and look for Elijah. Let's go look for Elijah. And at last, he gave in to them. The sons of the prophets did one thing. Elisha did something else. The sons of the prophet went looking for the man of God. But Elisha went looking for the God of the man. Because what did Elisha say? Where is the Lord God of Elijah? The prophets went looking for Elijah. But Elisha cried out, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And you know, we tend to do at times what the sons of the prophets did. For we tend to say, where is man like John Knox today? Where is man like John Calvin today? Where is man like George Whitefield or Andrew Bonner or Samuel Rutherford or Robert Murray McShane or C.S. Spurgeon? Where are these men today? If only we had these men today with us, things would be different. But that's only wishful thinking. It's not the men of God. It's the God of the men that we need to be looking for. Whitefield, McShane, Calvin, Knox, Rutherford, Bonner, they're all dead. They're no longer upon earth. But their God is still alive. Their God is still alive, and we should be seeking our God. Their God is still living. And so our cry should be, where is the Lord God of John Calvin? Where is the Lord God of John Knox? Where is the Lord God of Spurgeon and Whitefield and McShane and Bonner and Rutherford? Where is the Lord God? That's what we need to pray. That's what we need to cry out. Where is the Lord God of these men? We'd love to have these men, but they're not here. They're in glory. And it's the God of glory we need. And we were filled with the Holy Ghost. We had the mantle of power. God could use us as He used Spurgeon, as He used Whitefield, because they were men full of the Holy Ghost. And if we are filled with the Holy Ghost, there is no telling what God can do with us and through us. Whenever the apostles were filled with the Holy Ghost, Acts 4, verse 31, they spake the word of God with boldness. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost. They spake the word with boldness. They were fearless in the face of great opposition. And then later it was said of Paul and Silas, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither. That's how the ungodly looked upon the ministry of Paul and said, they've turned the world upside down. Through their ministry there was such a stir in the country. But we often say we need men who will turn the world the right side up. But nevertheless we see what they meant. God had filled these men with His power and with His Spirit. And the only way the ungodly could describe it was they had turned the world upside down. And they've come here. We can be those men today if only we had the mantle of God's holy and heavenly power. I often quote the words of John Wesley. John Wesley said, give me 100 men who fear nothing but God and sin and will shake the very gates of hell. We will shake the gates of hell. That's what we need. And that's what the Lord can do with us if we're sold out to God and filled with the Holy Ghost. We can shake the gates of hell. We can scare the demons of hell. We can put the devils of hell to flight. And we can see sinners saved from hell. if we're filled with the Holy Ghost. If we had that mantle of power. So we have the cry of Elisha. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? We have the clothing of Elisha. We read that Elisha took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him. We read there in verse 14. He took the mantle. This mantle would be his clothing. From now on, having rent his own clothing. That's what he did. Verse 12, the end of the verse. He took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces as if he was turning his back on his old life. Now he's going to be wearing a different clothing. He was going to be wearing the mantle of Elijah. He was going to be wearing that mantle of power. This was the new Elisha with his new clothing. Clothing which speaks to us of God's power. Would you turn with me to Luke 24? And here once again we see an example of the unity of Scripture. We've just been in 2 Kings chapter 2. We have considered the mantle that Elisha would soon be wearing, the mantle that speaks of power. Now we come to Luke 24 and verse 49. Lord's farewell address to his disciples. Verse 49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Endued. What that word means? Clothed. Until you be clothed with power from on high. That's what we're dealing with regarding Elisha. He took hold of the mantle of Elijah. That was his new clothing. That was his new clothing. Not that there was anything in the mantle itself, but it was the symbol of God's power, and that's why Elisha had asked for a double portion of the spirit of Elijah. He felt it was his right to ask for a double portion. And here's the Lord Jesus telling his disciples to tarry at Jerusalem until you be endued, until you be clothed with power from on high, until you be clothed with the power of God. What a soul-stirring story. The last place to have the confession regarding Elisha. Having taken the mantle of Elijah, which fell from him, Elisha took that mantle, verse 14, when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. Now, we know that the sons of the prophets, the 50 men, they were standing afar off watching all this. Now, Elisha receives Elijah's mantle. He's now clothed with the power of God. He takes that mantle and he strikes, or he stands at the edge of Jordan. He strikes the waters of Jordan and they divide hither and thither, and he goes over. What did the sons of the prophet say? Whenever they saw, that's verse 15, and when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. In other words, they were able to say, Elisha has the power of God in his life. And here you have Elisha going back the same way that he came, only this time he goes back a different man. A man full of power. A man with the double portion of Elijah resting upon him. He went back a different man. Why is good? When we sit under the word and God deals with us and God challenges our hearts and we leave the house of God different men, different women. Because God has had his way in our lives. That's what we need. We need a change in our lives. We need the power of God, and the power of God will work that change. A change that will have us living out and out and out for God. Oh, what a difference in our lives, ministries and churches. We all returned from God's house filled with the Holy Ghost. D.L. Moody once said, I have lived long enough to know that if I cannot have the power of the Spirit of God on me, to help me, to work for me, I would rather die than live just for the sake of living. He feels he'd be better going home to heaven than living just for the sake of living. If he couldn't have the power of God in his life. And he went on to say, we must have this power from on high. Without this power, our work will be a drudgery. With it, it becomes a joyful task and a refreshing service. We need the power too. We need to give ourselves to pray to that end for that power. We need to go along the road of perseverance. When we're tempted to stand still, when we're tempted to lag behind, we need to persevere. And as we read over and over again, they too went on. May we too go on until we lay hold upon the mantle. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Most loving and gracious God, we bow before Thee. How we need that power. How we need that mantle. How we need to be clothed, endued with power from on high. We know, Lord, the power of the flesh, power of man will fail. It's not up to the task. It's the power of God we need. Oh, Lord, may we be a people who will give ourselves to seeking that power in our lives. And, oh, Lord, I pray that Thou would let the fire fall upon the town of Port Hope. It's dead, Lord.
that's dead, spiritually dead. We ask thee, O God, to bring it to life. Send the fire. Lord, send the fire. Write this word upon our hearts. May we take it to heart. Help us, Lord, not just to dismiss it, but, O Lord, have us to take it to heart and pray over it and pray through it, that we'll all know the power of God in our lives. Be with us now, dear Lord, as we part the one from the other. Keep thy hand upon us, all of us, until we once again gather around the Word of God. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be our portion now and forever. And give help to our brother Gabriel on Wednesday night. Give him a word from thyself. We pray in the Savior's holy name. Amen.